My name is Marty Lux and I live in Dania, Florida.
My name is Keo Kisling and I live in Hollywood.
It's sort of a ritual on Saturday morning to ride your bike to the beach, go up to the Bancho, have a Cuban coffee there, and then just ride up and down, ride up and down. Enjoy what's good about Hollywood.
And that's the boardwalk
in the bike lane. Don't walk in the bike lane.
Yes.
One day you're going to see me here in my wheelchair and I'm going to go up and down, up and down.
You're listening to WLRN 91.3.
And we return. It's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Today we begin with Florida native Dara Zelodon. She has an interesting tale of woes to relate, but also gives many, quote, pearls of wisdom to overcome them. She's an active blogger and columnist and has written Girl with the Crooked Smile, Stuck in a Moment. Welcome to you, Dara.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Dara, your hardships stretch over so many years, and you say that despite a nagging compulsion to give up, you were able to stay sane and pull your life back together. What was the most important factor in all that?
I had an unwavering faith that I kept believing each day could be the day that our lives would turn around. And I just kept believing in that and honing in on my family, and that got me through.
You have this moniker, the Warrior Mom. What does that mean exactly?
Well, I was in battle. There was a lot of issues that were happening at the time, lots of hardship, and I felt that I was in war and struggling to survive. So I had to adapt a mindset that I was a warrior, and that's what got me prepared and able to overcome a lot of things that could have potentially taken me down.
Right.
Well, give us a thumbnail of some of the events and the hardships that you've endured.
Well,
quite a litany of them.
I'll be brief. I was 4 months pregnant with my fourth child, and I thought I was having normal morning sickness. Two doctors, we were living in Panama, South America at the time. One diagnosed me with sand in my ear. One diagnosed me with tough pregnancy. And then I finally made my way to a neurologist and realized I had a mass the size of a tennis ball situated right inside of my brain. And I had to have an operation while pregnant. And after that, surviving it, my brother...
Was it malignant?
It was benign. However, pathology aside, it was very dangerous because it was putting pressure on the brain stem. And my days were numbered because the pregnancy hormones were exacerbating the growth, and it was unpredictable how large and how quickly it was going to consume real estate in my head.
Wow. And you lost your hearing as a result of that.
Right. I lost my hearing one side.
In one ear.
Which hasn't been that bad when you have five kids. Can't really complain. Sorry, guys, if you're listening. But that there were two options presented, to go in through the ear canal, take out the hearing, or go in through the cerebellum in the back and the doctor, and we decided to take out the hearing.
So then from that, upon getting that surgery and surviving the surgery, then you found out about your brother.
Right. So I had to stay in New York where I was operated for a month afterward before being allowed to fly home. And I get home to Panama to my three children. And we're home just about a few days. And I get a call that was the most gut-wrenching call you can imagine. Here I was thinking it was my grandmother who was already up in years. And I got the call that my brother took his life. And mind you, I was still very fragile. I had fresh open wounds in my head. I was pregnant now, 6 months pregnant, so I had to keep rather cool as to not complicate my own health issues.
And you were able to?
I don't really know how I did it, but somehow I did.
You said that denial has helped you in many instances. Explain how that worked for you.
I have a very rich imagination. I just resorted to that imagination and pretended when it was convenient that nothing happened, that I was fine, that the tragedies weren't upon me, because there was no sense in obsessing 24/7. It wasn't going to solve or change anything. So when I had to face a conversation with a doctor or make a decision, I went into logical brain mode. But other than that, I carried on with as much normalcy as possible, the new normal. And yes, it was denial. It was a form of denial.
Well, what next?
Well, hopefully only good things.
Let's ask our listeners to join in. We're speaking with Dara Zeledon, and she's a warrior mom of five, certified professional success coach, excuse me, and life coach. She's written Girl with a Crooked Smile, Stuck in a Moment, and The Pearls of Wisdom That Pulled Her Through It. So why did you rename the book from Lucky, what was it, a Lucky Girl?
Lucky Girl.
To Girl with a Crooked Smile.
I got some feedback from some focus groups that I did that it sounded perhaps people would misinterpret because I wasn't lucky. Here I am presenting all of these woes, but in essence I was very lucky because in each one of the scenarios it could have been worse.
And what about the crooked smile then?
Well, the crooked smile is the result of a pretty gruesome biking accident that I had. In 2011, again in denial, thinking I was still 15, jumping curbs, and fell off my bike onto my face and broke my jaw in three places, my chin, lost a bunch of teeth. And as a result, I've got a nice crooked smile.
Well, it looks fine
to
me.
We're saying it now.
You mentioned that your faith got you through. Tell me about that.
I never realized, Bonnie, how much faith I really did have, because I was struggling at heart with trying to be living an Orthodox Jewish lifestyle that we were living. And I was so occupied and preoccupied with the rituals and following the laws of what I had to do for the holidays and the eating. I never realized where my faith lied until a lot of these situations, and I realized it was much stronger than I had imagined, and my faith in God was completely separate from the practice and observance of my religion.
In your book, you have, there's a quote, "Be fearless and take calculated risks." Can we do both of those?
I think so. I think being fearless is the new the new normal, the new way to go about living life. None of us ever know
but
when.
Not reckless.
Not recklessness, but trying to stay in a comfort zone and trying to control everything is eventually going to get us in trouble, because life changes. That's just the nature of things. So I'm for living a passionate, authentic life, taking calculated risks and going out of your comfort zone to grow.
We're speaking with Dara Zeledon. She is a journalist and an author, and she's written Girl with a Crooked Smile, Stuck in a Moment. If you've had some hard times in your life and you want to share them or talk to Dara, you can call us at 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. You can email radio@WLRN.org, or you can tweet us at Topical Currents.
And Dara, you say to be a performer to keep life running well for the kids' sake.
Right.
Sometimes maybe you're kind of going through the motions for the kids' sake when you're really very
desperate
or in despair.
Absolutely. There's no doubt I was clinically depressed. There is no doubt in my mind. And the only reason I got out of bed every morning when there was nothing on the horizon, nothing in the pipeline, no job, nothing to wake up to, was because of my children. It was almost as though I challenged myself to see how good I could perform for them, because they were toddlers and babies. There's no sense in transferring worry onto them. So I performed. I performed until things got better, and I even outsmarted myself.
When you say, excuse me, that you would fake optimism until you really feel it, it's one of your pearls of wisdom. But isn't that being dishonest with yourself when you fake it? Or do you think it actually got you through?
It is being dishonest with yourself, but that's one of my pearls, which is unconventional, is be dishonest with yourself, because if you fake something long enough, then eventually you own it. Just like a habit takes 30 days to become ingrained, if you do something long enough, then you actually change your mindset and your modus operandi.
Do you want to talk more about, so we got to your brain tumor while you were pregnant, and then your brother... his tragic suicide, and then what happened?
So that happened, and then we came back to Panama after the funeral proceedings, and I got pregnant with my fifth child after the miracle baby was born fine, and we had a violent armed robbery in our home in Panama occur, and my husband and I were away for one night, and it was an inside job. And by some miracle, and I say throughout my book, there are so many miracles, and that's why I wanted to call it Lucky Girl, because things could have gotten very bad. My children remained asleep.
During the robbery.
Four toddlers and babies that are used to getting up 10 times a day, a night, stayed sound asleep with a pack of gangsters with boots on running through the house.
Mm. And you weren't home at the time.
We weren't home. We were out. We went overnight to a nearby island to celebrate an anniversary. And that's how I try to look at everything that has happened, is the miracle of how it could have been worse.
Right. We're speaking with Dara Zeledon, and she's written Girl with a Crooked Smile, Stuck in a Moment, on today's Topical Currents. We are going to take a short break. We'll come back and take some calls and your emails. Stay with us.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Dara Zeledon. Her book is Girl with the Crooked Smile, Stuck in a Moment. And Bonnie, why don't you tell us about the Books and Books appearance?
Right. Dara's going to be at Books and Books in Coral Gables Saturday, right? June 8th at 5 p.m. And if you want to meet Dara.
It's the Coral Gables store.
Coral Gables, 5 p.m. Saturday. So how did love from your family and friends contribute to getting you through? You talk about love in the book.
Well, when you've lost everything and you really have to hone in on the bare bones essentials of what you have left in your life, you gain such a deep appreciation for those that are still around and still alive that are holding your hand. And that's why, thank God, those children, I'll tell you, they drove me crazy. They exhaust me, but they kept me alive. And in addition to my husband and my mother and several friends that came to our rescue.
Tell us about your childhood. Did you grow up in South Florida?
I did. I'm a South Florida native. Pretty boring, conventional, neurotic, suburban, Jewish upbringing. And
did you go to high school here? Which one?
I went to Hollywood Hills High School. Mm-hmm. And then I went off to college at the University of Florida. And from there, the wanderlust got the best of me and took me to Latin America, where I discovered a former life. Probably I was Hispanic. and have been traveling around ever since.
Did you ever occur to you, why did all this happen to me? Why does all this happen to me? What is it that causes all this?
All the time. I actually, in my book, there's two voices. There's the narrative, and then there's the introspective, deep, dark thoughts voice, where I disclose a lot of my inner thoughts, which sometimes weren't very nice, that a lot of people probably would not want to reveal. And I was very angry at times. I went through bouts of anxiety, jealousy of other people that seemed to have everything else going smoothly in their life. I realized at some point that I was being tested and trained by someone for something. And that's part of my message, is to swap out that woe is me mentality and understand hardship as a training ground, literally, to emerge stronger, bolder, and more resilient, just like you train your muscles in the gym to be stronger.
Did you ever turn to mental health professionals?
I did. I have actually, I have a background in psychology. I've worked at a mental health facility, and I have a lot of friends that are psychologists and psychiatrists. And I chose to use my anxiety to channel it towards getting through the daily drudgery of taking care of the kids and to keep going and go the natural route. But clearly I needed help. That's where the writing came in. I never planned to write a book.
Is that one of the healthy outlets you suggest? You said, you know, you need to find healthy outlets instead of finding the unhealthy ones. Is that one of your outlets, writing?
Absolutely. I needed something. And surely if I hadn't found writing or exercise, which has been my mainstay, which has gotten me through a lot, I would have turned to something else.
Where can people find your blog?
DaraZeladon.com.
And we'll put that up on the Topical Currents Facebook page as well.
And it'll be on the WLRN.org. There'll be a link on WLRN.org along with today's show.
Excellent.
And it's D-A-R-A-H.
Yes.
Okay. And you said you want to start a crooked revolution. What do you mean?
Well, there's a lot of spin-off messages I'd like people to take away from this book. First and foremost, I want to inspire hope and encourage for people to handle life with passion and not be afraid to take risks and not be afraid that to love because they're going to lose or to invest because it might not work out. We can't control certain things. And it's also about when I first had the brain tumor removed, my face bore a paralysis. And I remember trying so hard to be stoic when I would be speaking with people because I didn't want, God forbid, that they should notice that I had my face quite mangled. And I got to a point probably about a year ago where I said, you know, the heck with it. I can't stifle my spirit. I'm not going to pretend that nothing happened to me. I'm going to smile as big as I want, as crooked as it is. And whatever our crookedness is, whether we are overweight or we have some deformity or defect or battle wound, we should be proud of our lives that we've lived with passion and courage and not let it hold us back from being who we are.
So what are you doing to start this crooked revolution? Is it a website or?
Not yet. I'm gathering momentum right now, starting to just allow myself to be photographed more than I have in the past because I used to be very concerned about the fluttering eye and the crooked smile and just inspiring people around me to accept themselves as they are in this pursuit of perfectionism that we live in today's society, which has so many of us, especially women, afraid to just be natural and be who they are.
How has this affected your children?
Yeah.
Well, as far as the writing of the book, I have to say they're very excited. If anything at all comes out of this, I must say I've shown my children that I had a dream. I wanted to do this. I talked about it for many, many years and worked hard, and they've seen it come to fruition. They've seen it manifest, and that has inspired them to believe in themselves, that if they want to be a vet, an astronaut, whatever they want to do, that they will be able to accomplish it as well.
And we have an emailer, Vanessa. I happen to agree totally that you have to fool yourself into thinking that everything will turn out just fine. I went through a depressed state and a feeling of hopelessness, and all I had was my children and the faking of thinking that everything will be fine soon, and thankfully it got better.
Just go with emotion.
Yep. Fake it till you make it.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN, email, that's radio@WLRN.org. Dara, in your book, there's a quote that you fought like hell to stay sane, but don't we all?
I don't know.
Or I guess, shouldn't we all?
Maybe we should, but what percent of the population is on all sorts of antidepressants and paying God knows how much in therapy, maybe looking for an easier way out. I'd like to inspire that spirit of feistiness that we should fight for the few years we have left on this planet to make them the best that we can.
Knowing when to surrender was important to you. How do you use surrender in your life today?
Well, I can be quite assertive, and then you get to a point where you realize whether you're in a traffic jam or you're waiting in line and you're running late and there's nothing you could do to move the line faster and there's nothing you can do to get the traffic flowing, and you just get to a point where before you have an anxiety attack, and you just let go and say there's got to be a reason that this is happening. I was out with my children the other day and they insisted on eating some sort of food, and we went to 3 restaurants and each time it was closed, and I just said, that's it, guys, it's not meant to be. We're supposed to go straight home and eat at home. And you just get to a point where you realize the universe is sending you signs.
Right. So you talk about trusting your instincts.
Yeah, I found myself several times in sticky situations where I could have gotten mugged and raped, and I got out just in time.
Mm. Let's take a call. This is Brooke in West Palm Beach. Hi there.
Hi. So I wanted to kind of add on to what you were saying about faking it. To me, I sometimes look at it like it's not even really faking it. It's like retraining your mind to operate in a different way, because the, you know, feeling depressed or anxious is just the programming that, you know, whoever is currently operating with. And so, it you know, you can call it faking it, but it's also like practicing a new way and then just slowly transforming into that new way.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the neuro-linguistic programming that we learn when we become life coaches, but you're absolutely right. You have to be very strong and determined. And like you said, you just practice it and you reprogram the way that you think about things. And then eventually it kind of sticks, is what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye. And we'll move along to Javier in Fort Lauderdale. Hi there. Oops, we lost him.
We lost you. Sorry, Javier.
Well, tell us once again, Bonnie, why don't you remind them about Dara's Saturday Coral
Yes.
Gables
Dara, reading. So you'll be at Books and Books on Saturday at 5.
Yes.
And that's the one
Coral
in the Gables. 265, I believe, Aragon Avenue.
Yes.
Coral Gables. And what did you learn about yourself from writing this?
The writing has been, I joke with my husband that I saved him thousands of dollars of therapy, because it's been very cathartic for me to write about it, because I went into robot mode for many years when I was going through this. Just as a vet comes back with post-traumatic stress disorder, I realized I had some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder. And the writing about it, as I wrote, I would sit at the keyboard and sob, just gushing out of me. Just for years, I had held so much back because I didn't want to burden my family or my children with what was happening. I tried to keep everything normal for them.
Okay, we have Javier back. Javier, Fort Lauderdale, I only have about a minute or so. Be quick.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, my name is Javier. I'm from Panama, too. And when I heard you saying Panama, I was like, oh, wow. But my question to you was really, what motivated you to really adopt that mentality or idea that by, I guess, kind of like being a little bit untruthful to yourself to an extent, that will, in the long run, you know, help you? What motivated you to come up with that idea or,
Dara?
You know?
I'm sorry, I don't know if I understand the question.
I think he means, how did you, in order to get through, you told yourself, how did you learn how to have these illusions or faking it and all that?
Okay, I just, every day, first of all, it helps when you dress the part, just like kids dress up in Cinderella costumes and they feel like a princess. I would pull on combat clothes and I would dress the part. I didn't care what anybody thought about me, how I looked. I got myself in the mindset and was performing. And then before you knew it, I was walking around with bottles and pacifiers hanging from every square inch of my body, and I was in battle.
Quite a sight.
Yes.
Well, on that note.
On that note, we've been speaking with Dara Zeledon. She's a blogger, journalist, and author, and a certified success coach and life coach. She's written Girl with a Crooked Smile, Stuck in a Moment. She'll be at Books and Books in Coral Gables Saturday at 5 p.m. Dara, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much, Bonnie and Joseph, for having me. It's been wonderful.
Food and Dining, up next. And we return. It's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Well, hurricane season is underway, of course. We have Andrea skirting us today, Bonnie.
Yes.
It's not too bad here in downtown, but I understand up north things are...
Well, and we're under a tornado watch until 10 this evening for all of South Florida.
Well, we certainly hope we'll avoid the big one this season, but preparations must be considered. After bodily and structure safety, a major concern, of course, is loss of power and feeding those among us. We're joined now by my friend, chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastenheimer. Linda, when that fridge shuts down, the clock is running.
It sure is. June 1st, this has been a wild year for weather. Who would have expected a named storm in the first week of June? It's time to get ready for sure. So as you said, what about the food and how should we prepare? And when the power is back, this is the question we get a lot. What food can I save and what do I need to throw out?
I guess it's a good idea during hurricane season not to keep too much in the freezer.
Well, we're going to ask about that. To help us with these answers is Jan Norris. Jan is publisher of JanNorris.com, Food and Florida Online. And she's also been a frequent guest here for our restaurant review program. So welcome, Jan Norris.
Thank you so much on this blustery day.
Well, I understand. Now, you're in Palm Beach area, and you said it's really bad up there.
Yes, it has been. We're in a lull at the moment, but more is expected. Right now, Okeechobee County, just west of me, is under a severe tornado watch, so we're keeping an eye open. We've already had what they believe are tornadoes this morning out in what we call the Acreage area.
Wow.
West of here. Mm. Yeah. Wow. Serious business, so you picked a fun day to do this, let me tell you.
Yeah. I hope by planning this I didn't bring it on.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any hurricane food preparations questions or what any kind of question? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Our email is radio@WLRN.org, radio@WLRN.org, and you can tweet us with a question at Topical Currents.
Great. Well, also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. He writes the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column that you can read in today's Miami Herald. And you can also read my wine column, his wine column, sorry. Fred, sorry.
Okay.
It's your column, Fred, in today's Miami
Thank
Herald.
Thank you.
Obviously, Fred, I think I need to drink today. What do you think?
Well, it's always a good idea, as far as I'm concerned, in moderation, of course.
Of course. Okay, so I guess you have some advice coming up for us later on.
Yes, I do.
He's probably battening down the hatches in Michigan.
Jan Norris, June 1st is a start date, but we didn't expect something, a storm so quickly to come upon us. What is your tip? How should we get started?
Well, let's start with the essentials. There's, as we've heard, it's a weird time to be stocking your freezer. You don't want to put great big things in there that are going to go to waste in case of a storm. You have some advance notice, unlike a tornado or something like that. We do have at least some notice. So now is the time to prep for it. We can get busy. We can clean out that freezer. We can get our ice made ahead of time. That's one of my big tips, is you're going to need water anyway. So freeze at least 2 1-gallon jugs. Stick them in your freezer right now. Of course, dribble a little out to leave headroom.
I was going to say, yeah, because it expands.
That's correct.
Water expands when it freezes.
And if you don't want to take up that kind of space, freeze a baking pan full, freeze a mixing bowl full, but freeze block ice, because block ice is going to last longer. You're going to need it to keep your freezer frozen longer. If you keep it closed, you're not going in and out of the freezer anyway once that hurricane hits, and it'll keep your food cold longer at least, maybe giving you time to fire up your gas grill. That's the other thing. Buy an extra tank now.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Buy an extra cooler now.
Yeah.
You want an extra cooler to get the ice when you do have it or can find it. So definitely buy a cooler, buy your gas grill. Make sure you have your little emergency box packed with a manual can opener. Hello. There's no power.
So frustrating otherwise. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, can I just come back to the freezer for a minute?
Sure.
I've heard two different things. One says you keep your freezer filled with something because that'll keep things colder longer.
Very true.
Or otherwise empty it out. You know, it's either one or the other. Is that it?
But none of us go around with an empty freezer. Let's face it. We're pack rats. I mean, you know, we're freezing beans and we're freezing this, that, and the other. And right now, because of the mango crop, people have mangoes in their freezer like crazy. So that's not really realistic to empty the freezer. I would empty it of huge roasts and great big things like that that you've, you know, squirreled away. Maybe you found a ham on sale or you found a huge prime rib on sale or something like that. Not so much when the power's out, you're going to lose that $65 or $75 piece of meat.
Yes.
Here's a tip, though. Right now is also a very good time to review your homeowner's policy. Most of them will cover freezer losses. So if you do end up making a claim, you can claim your freezer, you know, and the contents in it.
Is there a deductible?
I'm sure there is, yes.
Okay.
It depends on the
policy.
It would
depend on the policy, but yeah. Most homeowners have...
Well, let me ask you another question here. You're going to buy some food, have it on hand, canned food or whatever, and it's got to last us through to October. And then we may never use it, hopefully, or we may use it. But what can we buy now that will last that long?
Everything that you want for power failures is non-perishable. You do not want to buy perishable food, obviously. So you're going to buy things like fish in a can. And by the way, all of this is on my website. So just so that our listeners know, they can go right to jannorris.com and they'll see this, all this advice right there. So
you know what my wife and I used to do was buy a lot of canned foods. And then at the end of hurricane season, they were still okay. So we donated them to the food bank.
Exactly. Because hurricane season ends right at Thanksgiving. Isn't that convenient? So there we go. And it's when the foods are needed, so don't worry about it. And besides which, I would rather have the food on hand, not face those long lines at the grocery store. If there's anything else I can tell you guys, it's do it now. What are you waiting for? As we see, it's already started, so let's get busy.
Right. I mean, and you're going to meet crowds, and then the shelves are going to be empty by the time you get
there.
Seen,
it is.
I've seen people battling over batteries.
That's true. Not just batteries, but canned fish. So we don't want to be on the salmon aisle, you know what I mean? So canned soups, we want protein. We want to avoid the salty foods because that's going to make us thirsty. We're not going to have air conditioning, theoretically. So you're going to be hot. You don't want to increase your thirst by buying salty foods. So try to avoid those easy foods like crackers. And even cookies and sweets have a lot of salt in them.
Well, so if it's post-storm, also it's a good idea, I think, to have your grill ready. And I know after Andrew, some of our neighbors came over and we had food in the freezer, so we just had big barbecues.
Yeah, street food parties. We have a lot of those up here after a storm. And some of them, if you know the right people, oh boy howdy, they're great.
Well, the other thing is, I think when you're buying the canned packaged foods, to buy small ones. Like little packages of, they have the packs of tuna or the little tiny cans of tuna. Because once they're opened, if you don't eat it all, you have no place to put it.
That's exactly right. And I also recommend milk. We're going to want milk for cereal, which is a real comfort food for kids especially, as is mac and cheese. Those can be cooked on the grill. If you've got those little boxes of milk, they make shelf-stable milk. And we don't have to resort to powdered milk or evaporated milk. So go ahead and buy the shelf-stable milk. It's good for 3 months. There's not a thing wrong with it. You can get it in low fat and the whole nine yards. So
right. And so now here's the question everyone asks. Once the power goes back on, things in your refrigerator. I mean, for example, let's talk about maybe an open jar of mayonnaise.
Right.
Is that okay to
nope.
eat?
No, definitely not. If the power comes back on and the food is still cold in the refrigerator and you're pretty sure it hasn't gone too much over like 50 degrees or so, it's okay. And a lot of the foods are good anyway. Ketchup rarely goes bad unless you leave it on the counter in a very, very hot kitchen. It will go bad. But you can, if it's been in the refrigerator and at least chili, it's okay. Mustard, okay. Jelly's okay. Nothing with dairy or egg or any protein is okay that's been refrigerated and is now hot. Forget it.
Is it true that things with a lot of sugar in them, like honey and jelly and jams, won't spoil for an awful long time, even if they've been opened?
That's true. That is true. Sugar is a preservative, and it used to be used years ago as a preservative. It still is in some cases. But honey is a funny thing. It will get a film on it. It will, and it can get a mold on it. So you want to be careful with honey. Here's a tip for that for you Floridians. You all know about Tupelo honey, which never crystallizes and never has to be put in the refrigerator. How about that?
I didn't know it didn't have to be put in the refrigerator. That's
there
interesting.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. And, well, on that note, we're going to just take a short break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Jan Norris about hurricane food preparations. This is the day to think about it, unfortunately for us. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. Back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Our guest is Jan Norris. She's the publisher of JanNorris.com, Food in Florida Online, a great resource for everyone. She's been giving us some very good hurricane tips, what foods to have on hand, how to prepare our refrigerators and freezers, how to know what food's okay to eat once the power is restored. And she said all of that is going to be up on her website or blog. It's a blog, right, Jan?
Yes, I call it a website.
Okay, well, JanNorris.com. That's NORRIS.com. And it's dinner in minutes time. So it's Tuscan tuna and bean salad. It's a quick and easy dinner. It's perfect for this season with or without
so you
a storm.
Use canned tuna and canned beans.
Right.
Right.
But let me tell you, buy good quality canned tuna. If you can find the Italian canned tuna or something like that, it's really very flavorful.
Is that packed in oil or water?
Normally in oil, but you can rinse it.
Oh, okay.
You can rinse it. No cooking needed. So that's the Tuscan and bean salad. And then the side dish is a zucchini and tomato salad. Now, the zucchini is cooked in the recipe, but if you didn't have a way to cook it, zucchini tastes very good raw. So you could have it with another no-cook meal.
Slice it thin.
Yep. Joe, you're impressing me with your cooking ability.
Well, I'm a survivor.
Okay, so rinse and drain some canned navy beans or any kind of canned beans you have. Chop up some onions, drain the tuna, break it into large pieces, and mix that all together with a little vinaigrette sauce. That's it. Put it on some lettuce leaves, a bed of lettuce. Then the side dish, cut the zucchini into small pieces. If you have electricity, we'll microwave them. If you don't, just leave them the way they are. Serve them raw. Chop up some tomatoes in the same size as the zucchini, a little olive oil. And sprinkle a little parsley if you have some on hand, a little oregano, and that's really simple. And that whole recipe is at dinnerinminutes.com. And then if you want a real quick shrimp pasta recipe with zucchini, that's today's Miami Herald. It's a very simple recipe. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And Fred, what are we drinking? We're going to need to drink. One time we were getting a hurricane, my husband opened a whole bottle of wine and he went to sleep.
Yeah, that's not probably the greatest idea to be recommending wine parties during hurricanes. So I think I'll just talk about something kind of totally unrelated here. And that is, have you ever tried the Italian wine called Lambrusco? Now, you won't find this in $100 wine lists in fancy restaurants, and your wine snob friends may shun you if you would even admit to liking it. That's because it commits a couple of serious sins. It's red, it's fizzy, and it's sweet. But there's a place in my heart for Lambrusco because when I was studying in Bologna, Italy in my youth, it had one great advantage. It was the local wine, so it was the wine that I could afford. I would bring my own empty bottle, and they would fill it up from their 55-gallon wooden barrel for the grand price of 48 cents per liter. And 48 cents was pretty much what I had at that time. And Lambrusco went just fine with pizza and pasta with tomato-based sauces or even all by itself. And it's been in America, actually, for some time now. There is a hurricane story about it. During Hurricane Andrew, I visited the mess tent of a National Guard unit to see what wine went best with their main diet, which was MREs, or meals ready to eat. And they opened a big refrigerator, and it was full of Lambrusco. It kind of brought a tear to my eye. Anyway, Lambrusco these days is making a little comeback in America. They make it a little less sweet now, and it's crisp and fizzy and full of ripe strawberry and raspberry flavors. It's a great wine for picnic and sandwiches and such, or fruit salads, or even it goes really nicely with chocolate desserts. Mignonetto USA has a Lambrusco they call simply Eel, spelled I-L. I don't know why they call it that, but that's what they do. And it's only $8 or $9, so you can give it a try. And incidentally, you don't have to feel guilty if you like it, because I wrote some positive reviews of sweet red wines recently, and I got quite a few emails from readers who said they were grateful that I had finally given them the intellectual cover to drink what they liked. So give it a try.
Good. Sounds great. Let me ask you a quick question, Fred, about wine and your electricity going off. So many people have a refrigerated wine cellar. Is that all right? I mean, how long can that wine last?
Well, you want, if you have it in a cabinet where that's cooled, you need to try to get a generator on it. I'd lost a lot of wine during Wilma when the electricity was out for 10 days and the temperature got up to 80 or 90 degrees of the wine, and that destroys it in a hurry. It doesn't make it bad or poison or anything. It just kind of takes all the fruit out of it. So you really need to have a, if you're going to have a serious wine collection, you need to have a generator.
Okay, and so if the wine stays warm for a little while, does it mean it ages faster, or does it just turn to vinegar?
Yeah, actually, it does age faster, and there's nothing wrong with that. What you want to avoid is temperature shifts, changes, like going up 20 or 30 degrees one day and down the same amount the next day. But during a hurricane, you can't always do that.
Right, right. Let's go to back to Jan. Now here we're going to be buying foods and we're going to be stocking up. How much do we buy? I mean, well, do we have to have a whole room set aside or what?
No, I recommend truly just, I like to say have a week's worth of just simple foods and things that you could combine. You need 2 weeks worth of water. Water is crucial. I can't emphasize that enough. We can last, you know, almost a month without food, but we can't last a week without water. So have water. I just can't emphasize that enough.
Well, what's wrong with our drinking water?
Well, there's a real good chance our pipes may be compromised,
mm-hmm.
and we would therefore need drinking water. And there, the stores now are under order to have generators on hand. So grocery stores will be probably reopened. But getting here may be a problem, depending on the severity of the storm. So getting restocked after this wipeout that's going to happen ahead of time may be problematic. And some of the stores may not have the generators that, you know, the smaller stores and that kind of thing. So,
you know, two things that I could add are we had 10 or 12 jars of peanut butter, and that lasts for a long time, even if
you
just end up eating it with a spoon.
And
the other thing is, if you're like my wife, you're going to need some chocolate for comfort purposes. So get a whole bunch of small bags of M&Ms that melt in your mouth and not in your hand.
I did want to revisit the alcohol thing. It's a common thing that, oh, yeah, we're under stress, so let's have a drink kind of thing. You need a clear head, truly. And I really recommend that. It's just common sense. And there's nothing more dangerous with a guy with a chainsaw and alcohol. And,
oh, right,
you know,
yes.
Forget that.
Yeah, no hurricane parties.
No, not until after the fact. Well after the fact, please. And no chainsaws.
Right. And peanut butter's okay to be opened unrefrigerated, is that right?
That's true.
It doesn't
turn all the nut butters, peanut butter, almond butter, Go outside your box there and try some almond butter because you're going to get sick of peanut butter.
Right, so. And for people with allergies, that's a great idea. I like the sun butter. It's made with sunflower seeds.
Exactly.
It's really very, very good. And so people who have allergies, that would solve that problem.
What about the peanut butter that's just fresh ground and has no preservatives at all? And does that still last unrefrigerated?
Yes, because it's got so much oil in it.
I see.
Those are prepared just for that, and you'll see on there it does not have to be refrigerated. Some of them, there are some that do, that they contain, I forget what the ingredient is, that mandates that it should be refrigerated. But in my experience, nobody's ever gotten sick out from peanut butter being left out. So.
Right, and that's a great non-meat protein.
It is. I also recommend canned beans for non-meat proteins and the vegetarians out there,
right,
certainly.
Right,
Beans are just great. They can be made into a hummus. You can mash them with that.
Right.
Yes, a hand masher. Ooh, what a concept. You
know? that sounds wonderful. Jan Norris, it's been really a very interesting week and lots of good information. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Happy to help.
And follow Jan, it's jannorris.com, Food in Florida Online. It's a great news, lots of good news for this area. So Bonnie Berman and Joe Cooper, nice to be with you today.
Likewise, thank you, Linda.
Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Okay.
Well, I hope we don't get any big ones this year.
No, that's maybe we'll just push it off. Well, next week we're going to be talking with Chef Jose Mendon from PB Steak. He's going to be telling us how to prepare the perfect steak for Dad on his day.
All right.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And that wraps up today's program. Our producer is Richard Ives. Technical direction from Paul Leary. Apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. Today's recipes at dinnerinminutes.com. We have free audio archives and on-demand downloads at our website, WLRN.org. Also, more information, links, and discussion at the WLRN Facebook page, the Topical Currents Facebook page. I'm crying out loud. Tomorrow at 1, it's Ed Bell and the South Florida Arts Beat. Monday, it's At Your Service, getting a Florida garden ready for the summer, plus landscaping tips. And the calendar. On this day in 1875, 138 years ago, the birth of German essayist and novelist Thomas Mann in Lübeck. He won a Nobel Prize for Literature in 1929. Death in Venice. And on this day in 1934, 79 years ago, the birth of French pianist and conductor Philippe Entremont. He's recorded more than 100 albums and remains the conductor laureate of the Vienna Chamber Orchestra. One more before we get analytical and explore our collective unconscious. On this day, 1961, 52 years ago, the death of psychoanalyst Carl Gustav Jung, once a Freud disciple. He introduced the concept of the complex. Our theme music created by Michael Levine. So we leave with a thought from Thomas Mann, author of Death in Venice, of course. Quote, "A man's dying is more the survivor's affair than his own." This is Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, and Fred Tasker. Stay tuned now for the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.